And you know, I believe God's moving. I believe that He wants to hear the praises,
wants to hear the prayers of His people. And I believe we're living in a time and in an age whenever that prayer and drawing close to God is going to be more important now than ever before. There's a song that says, we're living in the days of Elijah. And, you know, I looked that up one time about what went on with Elijah and Elisha as they were prophets of God. And, you know, God did some great, mighty things through them and brought to pass some things that Israel needed. But I think we live in those days whenever that we need to draw closer to God than ever before. And so thankful that you have been and that you've been praying for one another, for the condition of the lost, the unsaved. They need our prayers the most. And for one another and for our country. And, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. So I appreciate singing that song. Thank you for inviting me to sing along. I kind of stumbled there, but it's been some time since I'd heard that. But I'm so glad that you included me and asked me to do that. Remember, next week is where you turn your clocks up. You know, I announced that one time in church, and boy, somebody, before the service was over, before I even read my text, they were already on a ladder turning that clock up. And I found out later, said, why wait until next week? Let's just start it now. Maybe you'll cut it short. I don't know. But do remember next week that we'll be turning it up by an hour. That's more daylight, I suppose. More opportunity to get out and about. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to two places. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin with the 19th verse. Now, we're also going to be reading out of Hebrews chapter 6 and with the 8th verse. So those two places we'll be reading at. But for now, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and starting with the 19th verse, Hebrews chapter 10, 19th verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is, the veil of His flesh, the veil in Jerusalem between God and between man, has been done away with. We no longer have to go through the Levitical priesthood. But we do come through the veil of Christ's flesh. He is our access unto God. He's our high priest. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. And He's our advocate today. And having an high priest as such over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. I want you to pay close attention to these next two verses of Scripture. And let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works, for not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. If correctly read, this is the 19th down through the 25th verses of Scripture in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now we're going to skip over to the 6th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading. There won't be very many scriptures here that we will be reading. But in Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from the 18th down to the 19th verses of Scripture. It says, in two mutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie. Think about that for just a moment. Everything that God says is truth. Everything that He has promised is amen and to the glory of His name. It's impossible for God to lie. We have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is before us. Two verses of Scripture in the 18th verse, 19th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And our thought will come from the theme from these two verses that we've read, or two series of Scriptures that we've read in your hearing. And that's about the refuge of God. Now, we're going to look at it for just a moment, but we have a refuge in God. We have a refuge that God has prepared and has given unto us and has blessed us with. We live in an age whenever that we need a refuge. We need a safety place, a safe place, we'd say today. A shelter, because we live in an age and in a time where that we have troubles, we have trials, we have unexpected events that come up in our life that it catches us off guard. In fact, Job says over in one place in the 14th chapter of Job, and in the first verse, he says, man, or words to these effect, man that is born of woman is of a few days, and he's full of trouble. Even whenever that a baby is brought forth into the world, what's the first thing he does? Oh, what a beautiful morning. No, he cries. Why? Because he feels the pain of birth. And it's because of the fall. We could go into that today. But you know, it's because that right off the bat, we are faced with pain. We are faced with trials. We're faced with troubles. There's no one today that isn't affected by something. And I want to tell you something today. Even the people that appear to us to have it made, to have it all, that are living on Easy Street, or whatever the case might be, they have their problems. They have their troubles. They have their trials. And there are always going to be that unexpected that will hit us whenever that we least expect it. But the Bible tells us over in Nahum, in the first chapter, in the 7th verse, it said, the Lord is good and a stronghold to those who trust in Him. And He knoweth those that trust in Him today. Now, whenever that we think about a refuge and we think about a stronghold, we think about a shelter, in the Old Testament, it was always referred to as a stronghold or a shelter from rain, from storm, but also from war and battle. So the shelter that God gives is stout enough, strong enough, that it can withstand the battles that we face, and the wars that are coming, that come upon us. And someone will say, well, I want peace and safety. Boy, doesn't everyone. But my friend, God has given us, even in battle as a soldier of Christ Jesus, He's given us the armor. He's given us the weapons. He's given us the protection. He's given us, last of all, but not least, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But He also gives us a haven and a refuge that we can go to, that we can resort in times of trouble. Now, one of the refuges that God has given unto us is actually the congregation, or it is the fellowship of God's people, of those that have been saved by the grace of God, been born again, those that have covenanted together to love one another, those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and those that have been immersed into the church. It's a refuge today. Whether that you realize it or not, you are all, as children of God, a refuge for one another, and a refuge that you yourself can resort unto. The Bible tells us over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. You've heard me quote this so many times. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, it says, to bear ye one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I love it whenever that you give prayer requests, and you give prayer requests and praise reports like you did today. Because it tells us that God not only hears prayer, God answers prayer. And we may not see and feel God answering prayer just right off the bat. You read about Abraham. You read about Daniel. Whenever that they prayed, and the answer just didn't come Johnny on the spot for them. But it took some time. But oh, how God answered them and what He said unto them. And my friend, you are not the least of God's chosen and God's people, because in due time, God will hear and answer your prayers. Whether it be today that you can't find your car keys, or whether today you can't find your way or make a decision that's very, very important, or you come to a fork in the road and you wonder which way to go, God does hear and answer prayer, and God uses His people as a shelter and as a refuge and as a place of safety. Now, when we think about fellowship, fellowship is so needed in our churches today. We're going to have to band together. Did you know that? I believe today it's kind of like Ben Franklin said. And I don't quote him very often. But Ben Franklin once said, whenever that they were wondering whether to break away from Great Britain, become a separate country, he said, gentlemen, we must all hang together, or certainly we shall all hang separately. And you can even extrapolate that for the people of God. We must all band together, or if we try to live separate lives, there's going to be problems. We're going to be prey for the enemy. And Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever watched the shows about the animals in the Sahara and on the Serengeti? You know, very few of those predators, lions and leopards, and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, very few of them today will attack a herd. What they look for is somebody or something that is strayed away from the herd. And they plot to get that, and most of the time they get it. The Bible says that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now he already has the lost in a death grip, and we must pray for them that they'll be saved. But today, I want you to realize that he looks for you and I to stray away from the herd, so to speak, or to go kind of a separate way, or follow some doctrine, or some charismatic individual. And I'm not here to name names, I'm not here to criticize, but whenever that you get away from the fellowship of God's people, you become prey for the enemy. But fellowship, we find in the Scriptures, refers to a bond, refers to an adhesiveness. We're an adhesiveness, kind of like glue. We all stick together, you know? And what causes us to stick together today is the fact that we all have one thing in common, and that is that we have been saved by God's grace. And we're a shelter to one another. We're a hope for one another. Brethren, whenever that we come together, don't be ashamed to ask for prayers and to ask for people to pray for you. Don't be ashamed to do that, because that's what we're here for. We're here to bear one another's burdens. We're here to take on one another's sorrows. When one weeps, we all should weep. When one rejoices, we all should rejoice. But that's the purpose, I believe, of why that we're here, in addition to spreading the gospel into all the world and to see to the salvation of sinners today. And brother, that's why that he says, let us consider one another. Let us provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Provoke one another. Now, we usually think of provoking as like you provoke a fight. We know how that goes. But we're to provoke one another unto love and good works. To be kind of like somebody on the sidelines. That whenever someone falls, you encourage them. Brother, you encourage them. You encourage them unto love and to good works today. And that's what he was speaking about over in Hebrews. Now also, in our number, we find that there's accountability. We're accountable one to another. Whenever that we see one sorrowing, we sorrow with them. And we unite with them. James says over in one place, confess your faults one to another. Brother, I did that last week. I want to tell you something. It was good for the soul. It was good. Because I want you to know that even preachers have their problems. And they have things that they struggle with. And you know, it comes from the enemy who wants to keep the Word of God from being preached and to go forth. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul tells us over in the book of Romans, and Satan will do everything that he can, he possibly could do, from where you're sitting and even up here in the pulpit. I always prayed whenever I first started out preaching. I said, dear Lord, just stand beside of me. And you know he does. And he has helped me. And I give him honor and glory. But I know there are times whenever that Satan comes up here too. And it's kind of like the Lord's on one side and here's Satan on the other. And he's putting thoughts in my mind and he's trying to get me to, oh gosh, hurry up, the Vikings are going to be playing. But my friend, I want you to know that he works on us. And we confess our faults one to another. And the Bible goes on to say in that same verse of Scripture, it goes on to say, pray for one another that you might be healed. It was healing whenever that I finally got to the place to where that I could let go a lot of things that was hampering me in life. And I have no enemies. I have no one today that I have an ought against. Now, sometimes Satan will resurrect it. And I'll tell you something today. He'll try to tempt you. He tempted Christ 3 times. But the Bible says over in one place that Satan left him for a season. And he came back. And he began to tell Jesus such things as, you know, death will never come to you. He used the disciples to say that to Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Now, he wasn't calling Peter a devil. But he said unto Peter, who had said that this will never happen unto thee, Lord. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan, because Satan did come back to try to tempt him. Jesus knew what was ahead to purchase our salvation and our redemption. It took that. But Satan knew that if he could stop Calvary from happening, you and I would continually be in darkness and there would be no hope of salvation today. Get thee behind me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but thou savorest the things of man. So we find today that whenever that we confess these things to one another, ask one another to pray for us, hear the prayer requests of others. My friend, we bear one another's burdens. Unity. I want to tell you something today. Alexander the Great, his father Philip of Macedonia, took him aside as a young man. And he had a bundle of sticks. And he said, Alexander, I want you to break all of these. And so young Alexander stood there and stood there and stood there. And he couldn't break him. And Philip told him, you can break them. You can break them all. Do you know how he showed him to do it? Take out one stick at a time. Unity gives strength to one another. Unity. The Bible says, keeping the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace today. My friend, be united. Don't let anything disrupt your unity today. Stay united. If Satan brings something to your mind, you know, about the church or about this or about that, my friend, don't listen to him. Don't even give him an opportunity. But in unity today, there is strength, there's peace, there's mercy, there's grace, and there's love today. Now we also have a refuge in God's Word. I want to tell you something today. This is a refuge that we need to go to also, in addition to the refuge of the church or God's people or those that have been born again. I'm not just speaking about here, but those that we fellowship with other places. But God's Word. Thy Word, He said, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against Thee. And the Roman letter tells us in the book of Romans says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. You know, we get so down when we see events taking place in the world. But my friend, go to the Word of God. And God has said, these things are going to come to pass. Some of the things we are already seeing come to pass are on the horizon. But you know, Jesus said over in one place, do you know what He said today? And what He says to you? He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have uprisings. But He said, blessed be to God. I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, be not overcome with the world. He said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome it all. And He tells us in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter, He says these words. He says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you want to know how to battle Satan today? Do good. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that His Word brings about transformation. You know, as you read the Bible, as you read the Scriptures, as you get into it today, it begins to give you a different perspective. You start to see something on the horizon that maybe you've never seen before or never, but you sense that it's there. And the more that you delve into the Word, into the Scriptures today, the more that God brings it into your vision. And it's always for your benefit, as we read in your hearing. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's not man-made. Because when you read it, you have to admit, no man could have come up with some of the things in his imagination that we find in the Word of God. No man could have done that. It had to have come from God. And you know what the remarkable part of it is today? 66 books over thousands of years, and every one of them harmonized one with the other. How do you account for that? Because it came from the same author. Because it came from the same source. It came from God. And I want you to know God's Spirit will bear witness unto His Word. No matter what that Word tells us, whether it's about salvation or whether it's about the end time, God's Spirit will bear witness with what we read. Now I realize today that there are scholars that will pick it apart and, that's not what that means. My friend, it's because they've not done their reading into the Word of God. It's perfect. It's of one piece. My friend, it's because they don't understand what they're reading. You know, I read one time where the W.C. Fields, and that shows my age, but the W.C. Fields, they asked him one time, have you ever read the Bible? And then he said, and I'm not going to do a W.C. Fields imitation, but he said, oh, yes, I have. He said, why do you read the Bible? I'm looking for loopholes. No. Brother, you're not going to find a loophole in the Word of God. You're not going to find any admixture of error. If people say they have error with it or problems with it, it's because they've not read it, and they've not read it with the attitude that they want God to speak to them through it. I know that's a lot to say today, but we find today that His Word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. It can transform the way that you look at the world today. Brethren, I want to tell you, whenever I've read some of the prophecies, I'm convinced that we are very, very close to the end time. But you know, I don't want to discourage anybody, because the Bible tells us over in the book of Luke, it says this, it says that when you see these things come to pass, he said, don't look down at the ground. You're going to bump into something if you look down at the ground. He said, when you see these things come to pass, he said, what? He said, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Christ Jesus is going to come back one day, and he's going to straighten out the whole mess that's going on today. He's going to straighten out the theological questions. He's going to straighten out everybody's theology. He's going to straighten out who owns what land, because the rightful owner of this earth will sit upon the throne. It is his today. He will occupy it, and he will rule from it. My friend, it's not in the keeping of a country. That country is just in charge of being like a janitor for it, or someone who takes care of things. But my friend, the earth is the Lord's. That's what the Bible says. Oh, I love it whenever these countries say, and their leaders, and I'm not picking on them, but you know, they say, well, this is mine. But you know what? They forget about the one who's looking down. Amen? They forget about the one who's looking down. At any rate, the Scriptures will change our outlook. It'll change our perspective. It's a refuge today. You can take refuge in the Word of God. The Bible tells us today that it'll begin to conform our lives to the image of Christ Jesus. Now, in the Bible, in the 8th chapter, and then the 27th verse of Romans, it talks about He has predestined, don't be afraid of that word, He has predestinated us to be conformed unto the image of Christ Jesus. Whenever that we're saved, by the grace of God, we're born again. And we have not the image of Adam upon us, the image of sin, but we have the image of Christ. God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ dwelling within us. That's how He receives us. That's how that He accepts us. My friend, we get into heaven not by what we've done, but we get into heaven by the blood of Christ. You know that whenever the death angel came across Egypt, they weren't looking to see if anybody could trace his lineage back to Abraham. They were looking for one thing, and that's to see if the blood had been applied. And I want you to know, it's by the blood of Christ that we have access unto the throne of grace and unto God. I ran across a saying this week, and I thought, boy, how true, that the key of heaven is hanging upon three nails. Think about that for just a moment. You don't get into heaven by bypassing the cross of Christ. You've got to come under the cross. You've got to come under the sacrifice that was made through Him today. And we are conformed unto that image whenever that we're saved. Now also, that as we live our Christian life, He's conforming us day by day. How is that? It's by His Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. But it also tells me how to walk in this world, how to regard others, how to be Christ-like. My friend, what Paul, whenever that he writes some of the things that he does unto the church, he's telling them to be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know where all these scriptures are coming from. My friend, I want to tell you something today. The closer that you get to God, the more that you appear unto the world Christ-like. And the greatest compliment that could ever be made towards someone is that, you know, I can see Jesus in you. You know what most, you know, I don't know about all preachers, but I know that it's for me. Greatest thing that I could ever endeavor to do is when we preach that people don't see Paul Kofor, but they see the cross of Christ. They see its transforming power in salvation and also in our daily walk with Him. It protects us from temptation. I want to tell you, as we said before, Satan is going to tempt the people of God. You might as well realize it today. I used to tell my wife after a good service at church, I said, get your boxing gloves on for Monday. You know? And Lord, help us with your word that we might be able to give Satan an uppercut that he's never had before. My friend, we're to be grounded within the word. Christ answered him with the scriptures. He answered all that would come to him and ask of him, are you the Christ? Is there any reality unto this today? And he could go to the scriptures, the Old Testament, and he would quote, and he would adapt it unto that present situation. Word is our refuge. It gives comfort. You ever read the Psalms? I tell you what, there are times whenever I've read the Psalms of David, and it just tore my heart. Because David was experiencing some of the things that we've all experienced. He's been alone. He's been deserted. But also, so was Christ. While Christ is our refuge today, in Him is our ultimate refuge and safety and shelter. Jesus said over in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter in the 28th verse, He said these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or in other words, I will give you safety. I will give you refuge. I will give what your soul needs today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ knows all about our troubles. He knows all about it, and we can go to Him in prayer. He gives us that assurance that we are His. I love that song that says, God's amazing grace sent down from heaven rescued me from sin and from shame. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I praise His holy name. Whenever that He saves us, we are in Christ. And He said over in one place in the 10th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of my hand. And to add on to it today, He said, my Father, which is over all, holds you within his hand, and no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. So here's Jesus holding you. Here's God holding you. And do you think today Satan can break through that kind of hold? My friend, to disrupt your standing with God? Now, salvation is not for us to abuse grace and to do anything that we well please to do. I want to tell you something. The people that live like the devil after that they've been saved, there's one of two things. Either they're backslidden, or else they've never been saved at all. Now, I know that sounds harsh, and I'm not here to step on toes or anything like that. But I do know the power of God, that He can keep us and keep us. And it said, Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. He gives us strength, and that's our refuge. He gives us strength today to overcome. He said, I've overcome the world. He said, rest in me. Philippians says over in one place, because of that, I can do all things by myself. I'm glad you caught that. I can do all things through Christ, in Christ. Now I'm adding on to it. Through Christ, by Christ, and in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brother, I couldn't do what I'm standing up here trying to do, except that the Lord would help. Except that the Lord would guide by His Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, sometimes it looks like somebody's turned the clock up already. But I could sometimes, whenever that I think about it, I could almost go all day. Paul did that one time in the book of Acts. And there was a young man sleeping by the doorstop or by the window. And he was so enthralled with Paul's preaching that he kind of fell out the window. I won't do that to you. But I want you to know that He gives us hope in trials. Trials are not punishment necessarily, but they're to strengthen us. Do you know how some of the people in weightlifting and things like that, how they get to the place that they are? It's because they press a little bit more each and every time, and it builds up their strength. And they press to the extent that they can just barely get it. But you know what happens? They get to where that they're able to press a lot of weight and handle a lot of burden. And so it is with us whenever that we have trials, whenever that we have problems and trials and burdens. He said over in one place, He said, we know that all things work together. Paul said this in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, and in the 28th verse. He said these words. He said, we know. Do you know today? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and unto them that are called according to His purpose. You are the called of God. Did you know that today? You've been chosen of God. I'm not getting into predestination or anything like that. I'm just saying, you're the chosen of God. You're of Abraham's seed. You serve God by faith. You live by faith today. And He is a refuge. We're a refuge to one another. This Word is a refuge unto us. And I say this before you today because things probably will not get any better as far as like our everyday lives and what's going on in the world. But thanks be unto God, we have the victory already in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. gave himself for us. Brother, I want to tell you, some of the prophets long to see what you and I have the privilege of knowing and seeing and experiencing today. They saw it afar off. They knew it was a promise of God, that God would make a shelter. He'd make a refuge for us in this day that we live in. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. There is no difference in my heart, in my mind, but I love you all the same. But even better yet, God loves you even above and beyond that day. How do you know, preacher? Because He sent the only thing, the best thing, that heaven had to hold. He sent His Son into the world to die upon Calvary's cross, to be nailed to a tree, to shed His blood, to make a way that we could be redeemed by the grace of God and be made a child of God through Him. And He knew that we would face trials, troubles, heartaches, storms, wars, battles. But He's made a shelter. He has made a refuge. And that refuge, my friend, is what we resort unto today. God bless each and every one of you. It is my desire and is my prayer. I want to tell you, you'd already preached the sermon by what you'd said. Sis, both of you sisters, you'd already preached the sermon. In fact, I started to hand the Bible to Sister Sherry. No, I didn't mean to get you upset there. But you had. Because it was just exactly what my thoughts and my theme was today. Your refuge. Continue to be a refuge. Continue to be a light. Continue to be a hope. Continue to let your light shine to a lost and dying and hopeless world today. God bless you is my prayer.